Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to another Legends show. It's 6.30 on your Monday evening. The Premier League has returned. So has Graham Sharp. But John Aldridge has decided to fly off as the Premier League returns. He's on a beach somewhere. A beach where it's raining, according to Loro. Because he's gone off to Spain and the weather's not great over there. It's awful here.
Portugal. They've gone to Portugal.
Portugal, has he? Okay. Yeah. It's dreadful up here. When Loro came up, he said, are we safe up here tonight?
Fair question,
not,
Sharpie.
No, Sharpie would not. It's battering us up here. Whatever you're doing, just keep it the Legends for the next hour. You can get involved. 0151 472 0967. And it wasn't really one of those weekends, was it, where either team can shout about anything, really. You looked at Liverpool and thought, you should have had the points. Looked at Everton, you're probably a bit frustrated as well.
I mean, speaking to Sharpie there, but Everton didn't play well, get the same result as Liverpool. Football's mad sometimes, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy. Did you come out of Goodison Park frustrated?
Relieved. The fact that we scored late on, you know, for long spells we'd be huffed and puffed, but... first half was crowd were quiet, and just saying to Mark before, they come to Goodison, they don't play a forward player, they play 10 outfield players behind the ball, but Everton just played in their hands. Instead of upping the tempo was slow, the ball was going back, it was getting frustrating, then they go a goal ahead, and then it was only second half when they're chasing the game that you actually saw a little bit of desire to get it forward. Seamus scores a goal, a decent header. I'm not sure if the keeper should have done a little bit better, but not overall poor.
Do you have a mad 5 minutes then?
Yeah.
And then, it always happens.
So you think to send the punters going to be thinking, why didn't you start that from the start? Yeah. Exactly. So Koeman, as I said, the same header got in the half time, and he came out, and second half was better, but still, speaking to people after the game, and I'll still say it, and some are getting frustrated, and I said, he needs to clear out. He's got a massive job in his hand in terms of the players.
Much bigger than you thought. Because you didn't seem to imply that maybe a month and a half ago.
No, I did.
Has it become more realism of it?
I always said he's worked with the players now, and he's not a mug, let me tell you.
No.
And the fans are getting frustrated, quite rightly so, but he's not a mug. He knows in his own heart who is good enough for him and is going to stay there. Now, if he had a free hand and he could clear the decks like that, you would talk about in double figures of players that go out the door. You know, so at this moment in time, he can't do that. There's no guarantee that he can do that in January and bring the people in he wants to do. So they've got to be patient with him. They've got to be patient with him.
He needs three transfer windows, does he not?
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because I was commentating at Manchester United Arsenal, which was half 12. It was dead. Those half 12 games are absolutely...
They don't work, do they?
No one's awake.
Half 5 doesn't work, half 12 doesn't work.
No, honestly, no one was awake. And I tell you what, Manchester United and Arsenal were ordinary in the extreme, the pair of them.
You're talking there about no one was awake. I think atmosphere at the moment's a real issue for a lot of the Premier League. Fortunately for Liverpool, I don't think it is, because Jurgen's ignited something. But I was talking with our producer, Dave, who's a season ticket holder at Goodison. He says Goodison at the moment. He says there hasn't been a good atmosphere this season. Is that wrong?
No, I agree in what Mark said. But if you're a football fan, you want to go there and get entertained and get involved with the game and see what's passion and, you know, goal mouth chances and attacking football. So everybody gets up for it. But if you're seeing dull football, and I hate to say this, I say this time and time again, the Premier League for me is dull. Because everybody's now got it in their head to play, that they have to play this way. And only the top teams, there's Klopp's come in and done a pressing game. Oh, and Liverpool fans are saying great how it is and it's exciting and attacking. The rest of the teams are thinking now possession's the thing, and they're playing possession football but not going anywhere. And it's honestly boring to watch.
Well, Mark, you do a lot of different clubs, don't you? So do you see a variety of atmosphere across the Premier League?
Or is Sharpie right? No, I agree.
Is a lot of it quite low-key these days?
You didn't see Middlesbrough-Chelsea yesterday, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I mean, it was one to watch from behind the settee, seriously. But Middlesbrough just sat in, as in, if they don't score, as in Chelsea, they're absolutely fine. And once Chelsea scored, Middlesbrough hadn't a clue. Really hadn't got a clue. So you were looking and thinking, what's the point? So with 15, 20 minutes left, right, so you're Middlesbrough, you're going to get beat. Why don't you... you know, try and get a result. They'll try and get a 1-1 by sticking an extra... They play one up front. Stick an extra striker on. If you get beat 2 or 3-0 having a go, at least the punters go, you know what? Yeah. We had a, the punters must have gone, what's all that about? What's the, was it? It's like a game of chess.
Didn't want to get beaten by 4 type thing.
No.
Is that what it looked like to you?
Honestly, yeah. it seriously, seriously was. And the, just the way they set up Middlesbrough was odd, because Chelsea have got the two wing-backs. The two wing-backs, Alonso yesterday, by the way, is an ordinary player. And Moses, who, where's he been for however many years? Moses was brilliant. But they were so narrow, Middlesbrough, Moses and Alonso had so much space. It was just, you're kind of thinking, what are they doing?
Matt's spot on there. Middlesbrough fans would come away from there thinking, oh, we'd be getting beat. But I bet you the majority would have said, we should have had a go there. Oh. Well, let's have a right good go. Listen, they're in our backyard. Let's have a right good go at them. But they didn't get anybody forward to support Negredo, and he was stabbed.
Sharpie, first shot at goal was 70... the first and only shot at goal from Negredo was 78 minutes at home.
That's abysmal, isn't it? For a home team. Do you think the fans value an away day more than a home day? Is it more of the siege mentality for those who go away from home now?
You need an end product as well, don't you? You can't just go and sit and... All right, the day's good and have a few beers and all that kind of stuff, but your team's got to give you something, surely.
Exactly. And I think that's the disappointing thing at times. Fans are coming away thinking, did we give it everything there? You know, did we... And then you go through and then you analyse the players and performances and go, nah, he's not doing it, he's not giving us 100%. I tell you what, honestly, if you looked at us in the first half and you looked at it and you thought, come on, we had cross after cross from corners... And Fabianski, I was just speaking to Dave before, came and caught it every time. Now, wouldn't you as a player say to your mate, hey, listen, see the next one?
Smash him.
And stop him coming for it. But they don't. And it happens time and time and time again. So the punters are getting frustrated as well. The atmosphere at Goodison, you could have heard a pin drop first half.
I think the other thing is, a lot of the games now are more about the managers than the players. They are. If you say, you know... You know, at the end of the season, if it stays like this, you go, what was the 2016-17 season like? Well, Guardiola came back, Mourinho was a manager, all those kind of things. You go, really? Is that it? But that's the way it is at the moment.
Season of the manager.
Season of the manager.
It's true, isn't it? Let's get to our first call, and quite notably, it's an Evertonian, Phil, who's in Prescott. Evening to you, Phil. Welcome to the Radio City Legends.
Evening, lads.
Hey, Phil.
Hi, mate.
Very dismal evening.
Yeah.
Saturday, Graham, just a couple of points. Ronald Koeman came out, and I backed the guy. I wanted him, if you remember me saying when he was at Southampton. So I made up with the guy, don't worry about that. But what my problem is, we play the same system every week with one up front. He moaned about being 70% fit at the beginning of the season. On Saturday, we looked 50% fit. And when are these young lads going to get a chance? Davis, Oldgate and that. Rip the book up, say we might finish mid-table, we might have a decent cup run, but I'm going to bed these lads in for the next 12 months.
Phil, a good point. You know, but what I would say is that, with the young boy Davis, I think has done well. But is he an improvement on Idrissa Gueye or Gareth Barry? Okay, James McCarthy played a little bit more experience. Some people might say he should have got in front of James McCarthy. But I think Koeman's looked at it. And his opinion is the one that counts. And he's obviously looked at the young boy and thought, yeah, he's got something, but no, not for me at this moment in time. So it's not a case of just blooding the young players for the sake of blooding the young players. You know, he's got to win football games and he sees it at this moment in time, you know, better options than what he's doing. I think we get carried away at times with, let's blood the youngsters, give the youngsters a chance. Oh, he doesn't give youngsters a chance at Southampton, he won't do the same. Let him bed in. You know, let him bed in. I can understand what you're saying as well, and some of the senior players aren't doing it, why not give the youngsters a chance? But I just think the youngsters have got to be good enough to get that chance in the first place. And people will say, well, you won't know until you give him a chance. Young Davis has done okay in patches when he's came on. Is he ready for a first-team start at this moment in time? I'm not sure. I still think there's people ahead of him.
I don't know whether you saw, but I saw reports and he played 3 times for the England under-23s in the past week, Tom Davis. Under-19, sorry. Three times. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
No, the lad's got energy. He's up and down. You know, he's what I'd say he's not like a box-to-box player or somebody who goes beyond. You know, so he's not one of those. Everton at the moment for me are crying out for somebody who runs in behind people. You know, we talk about Liverpool and how well they're doing.
Shopping most of the teams in the
league. Well, exactly, Laurel. But we're talking about Liverpool when the movement up front. Everton are so static, it's unbelievable. And I just don't think Tom, good player that he is, will give us that bit extra that somebody walking on. So I just think it's a little bit harsh that people at the moment, Phil, are getting on at him. I just think, I said to at the beginning of the show, he's got a massive, massive job there.
Phil, can just check, you've not got your radio on, have you? It's just,
no, I'm not, mate. No.
Oh, that's okay.
What I'm going to say to that, Sharpie, is equally, though, pedestrian wasn't the word. I mean, these lads, they're getting top money. Us fellas on the terraces are working our butt off to buy a season ticket, and we're coming out so despondent. We may as well go and watch Prescott Cables or something, and at least you'll have an end-to-end game. Yeah. We're not showing anything anywhere. I mean, Seamus Coleman was the only outlet, and that's bad for a right-back. I mean, Guy was great in the middle, but how sad is it when you're missing a 34-year-old ball player in Barry, and no-one else can take the mantle and do that job?
Phil, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on, and the thing, you go away, and I said that before, you come away and you think, come on, were they really rolling their sleeves up, having a right good go? You know, having a right good go, and, you know, listen, some of them are, and it's hard to say that people aren't trying kind of thing, but certainly on Saturday, I just said to Mark before, we don't move the ball forward enough. We don't get people running beyond Lukaku, getting in the box, trying to score goals. All our play is very similar to what it was under Martinez, where it's tippy-tappy. Tippy-tappy, keep it, pass it sideways. We had made a free kick just on the halfway line. We ended up on the left-hand side. We ended up back at the right back. We gave it back to the goalkeeper. Why not get it forward? Get it forward as quickly as you can. I'm not talking going route one all the time, but let's get it forward. Let's get it in and turn defenders. We don't do that. We play in front of people. And it's, Mark will tell you more than anybody else, he's delighted as a centre-back when everything's in front of him and he can see everything that's happening. As soon as people start running in behind, then you've got a problem. We don't do that. We don't look to do that. You know, and I just think at times we're so easy to play against.
Yeah. I mean, the other point as well, Graham, how many times, 4 or 5 times, we didn't get the ball past, it either went from a corner to the goalie or it didn't go past the first man.
Yeah.
That's basic stuff. There's kids in my 11-year-old team that can do that. So, you know, something, I don't know. I mean, we've got some hard games coming up, Graham, as well, you know. Are we going to look silly in these hard games and get a couple of 4-0s again?
Well, I tell you what, Phil, if you don't get a finger out, you know that there's a possibility. But, you know, as I said to people on Saturday at the game and after the game, it's a massive job he's got. And I don't know if he, once he's assessed the squad, and I've said to Mark and Steve already, that he's assessed the squad and he knows deep down in his own heart that he needs to change a massive amount of players. Whether that won't happen in January, it may not happen in the summer. There will be changes, don't get me wrong. But
Laura said 3 windows.
Three
windows to get you to what stage, Laura?
Well, to get you at a stage where you've got your players in and the players you don't want out.
A starting point stage?
No, to a kick-on stage.
Right.
And listen, he's not, you know, he don't suffer fools, does he, Koeman? Mm. And if you watch his previous teams, they've all been easy on the eye, and they've been good sides in every single department. I just wonder a little bit, maybe, whether, I don't know how many players are away on international duty, it's never quite the same when they come back and all that kind of stuff. Maybe sounds a bit like an excuse, but it is. And just in our day, it was when you came back, you could be absolutely hopeless. As long as you won, they'd be delighted.
That didn't matter. What's your thoughts on Phil Jagielka? There's obviously that little stat, conceded all 3 penalties given against Everton this season.
He's starting to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, and does he look like his game is suffering a bit more all round at the moment?
Yeah, he does.
Is that an age thing? I don't know. How old is he, Sharpie?
Jag's about 33, 34.
I hope his legs haven't gone, because I tell you what, I've never met a footballer whose legs have gone and they come back. Ever. Ever. So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe feels like he's a bit more sluggish and he started. It's difficult.
I think he's got the age now. I think he may have to make the decision about England. Or that decision may be made for him, but he was in the last squad, you know, so he may have to say, you know, it's not for me. You know, international's going away, not playing necessarily. You know, he'd probably be better off maybe just staying at his club.
Sharpie, there's been, I remember Shearer, Paul Scholes, all made the decision relatively early. And do you know why? Because they managed to eke out an extra 3 or 4 years at the club on big money.
So it was very, very sensible. Phil, some brilliant points from you. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Phil.
Cheers, lads.
It's 7:15. It's the Radio City Legends. More of your calls coming next.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Radio City Legends 10-7. Mark Lawrenson and Graham Sharp in the studio with myself, Steve Hothersall. We've done a fair bit on Everton. We'll get to another caller in just a moment. We didn't really touch on Liverpool's game at Southampton, but 0-0. Adam Lallana missing. Decent points or not in yet?
No, I think it's about three. If you look at the scale of the chances, they should really have had three, but you just take it, don't you? It's another great thing with Klopp is he's got a point. It's a point more than we had last week.
Move on.
Get on with it.
Mm. By all accounts, they were all really disappointed in the dressing room, and he walked in and said exactly that to them. You know, cheer up, you played some great football. Yeah, I mean, there was chances with Firmino. Should have won it, shouldn't he? There was Mane.
At the end, Mane.
Yeah. Numerous opportunities.
They won't be worried about that.
No?
No.
Slightly losing that, obviously, top spot to Chelsea, who came hammering through yesterday, run an incredible run.
Don't matter, Steve, does it, this stage of the season? You just stay in there, to be honest with you. There's no bias here. Liverpool are the best team I've seen this year. I've seen the top 5-6.
Well, you watch Man United and Arsenal. So what do you think of those two?
Both? Ordinary.
Yeah?
Arsenal, honestly, hardly had a chance.
Mm.
And they played well up to 30 yards from goal. And there's only Sanchez up front. I mean, the fella works his socks off. Mm. In fact, he probably works too hard. He's doing all sorts of stuff. But they just didn't really create anything at all apart from the equaliser. Mm. But then, you know, they've nicked a point at Old Trafford, so they'll be delighted, won't they? Feel like a win for them.
Stay over them. Mourinho looks like he's sort of greying, like he's weathering, doesn't he?
Listen, he's probably looked at that and he's probably thought, we should have won that game. And then to concede the goal, the way they did, you know, Giroud's come on, scored a good header on the back post kind of thing. But young Rashford is a little bit naive getting done with Chamberlain. But he's gone away with that thinking, we should have won that. But how crazy it is when you saw, did you see the two of them go to shake hands?
Both looked away.
Oh, absolutely embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Grown men, great reputations in the world of football and what they've done.
Good managers.
Good managers. Come on. Not to even look somebody in the eye when you're shaking hands.
Sharpie, the best bit was when Valencia was denied the penalty.
Mm.
And if the camera had been on Mourinho, it was just frightening. It was like your 4-year-old where you just take the tele controls off him. It was just that real Machiavellian as well. It was like, oh, my goodness. And he's playing to the crowd. Everyone's going, oh, for Christ's sake.
Shut up. Right, let's get back to the lines. Next caller to the Radio City Legends is Steve, who's in Birkenhead. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Even Greg.
Hello, Mark. Steve.
Hi, mate.
Where do you start, Greg?
Beginning.
It's like the ghost of Martinez just lying around the training ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, I think it's just the remnants. What we've got to look at, Steve, is it's still his squad, the majority of his squad.
Yeah. Have you seen the stat today? James McCarthy.
No.
Every touch, every pass that he played on Saturday went sideways, backwards.
Mm.
Not a single ball went forward. Mm. How can you play in a team with him?
Steve, I just said that, but I think that, you know, okay, he's got the stats against him. I think you can look at a lot of players, and I think that's because the way they were under Martinez. When you think when he first came in, he wanted to play out from the back. That was something new to Everton players. Under Moisey, it wasn't like that. Get it forward, defend, get it forward. Yeah. He changed the whole thing to play this way. And I said, I was sitting watching the game with Graham Stewart on Saturday, and I said, Howard Kendo, and his training and everything else, would not let you pass the ball back. He would do drills that you wouldn't pass it. So you'd have to have a picture as the ball came to you, you'd have to play it forward.
Yeah.
Watching us on Saturday, I'm thinking, come on, get it forward. Not necessarily just lump it forward, route one, but do something, get it forward. And in a way, I feel sorry at times for the players because... because... I look at, you know, when Mark talked about house at Southampton, how he liked to play and the way he wanted to get forward. When you look at Southampton, they had Shane Long up front. you know, who...
Chase a paper bag in the
exactly,
park.
Exactly.
All day long.
Who would run and chase people and get into channels and everything else. Now, he hasn't got that with Lukaku. Now, whether, you know, he continues and whether he lets Lukaku go or whatever kind of thing, but I'm looking at the players he's got, and if you're honest, a lot of them are not Koeman-like players, so that's why he's got a big, big job in his hands.
I mean, I sit in the main stand, Greg. Mm. Obviously, you know yourself being up there.
Yeah.
The picture you get of the game is, you know, you see everything rather than being behind the goal.
Yeah.
And there's no shape at all to the team, and no, you know, the times where Baines could have played the ball down the line for Blackie to get hold of, take a bit of pressure off us. Yep. He gets the ball and turns back on the track.
Yeah.
I mean, you come back to what you say, asking Mark, you know, is Jagielka coming to the end? I mean, watching Bain sometimes is like watching your puppy grow old. Mm. You know, you don't love him because he's been a fantastic servant and you knew what he could do, but week by week you can see his engines going. You love watch his game. It's like he knows it himself because he's not prepared to go that extra step forward because he knows he can't get back.
Mm.
And his distribution and his first balls, my word.
The only thing I would say is, I mean, Swansea obviously didn't come to play, did they?
No.
And it's not, if they just stick 10 across wherever, I think it's even the best of teams, unless you score early against them and make them change, it's really tough.
But you've got to want to score, Mark.
Yeah.
Look at the way some of the players, they're terrified of getting forward.
Mm. That's strange, isn't it?
On Steve's point, why are Everton playing two defensive midfielders against a team like Swansea at home
and they're
bottom, and the bottom of the league? What makes sense there?
Well, as I said, as the game went on, you thought, yeah, let's go and try and change it. You know, do we need two central midfield players? You know,
but why is he starting with
that? I don't know. That's the way he believes. That's his system. You've got to go with that. Okay, when he tries to change it, who am I to tell him, you know, what to do? But certainly, listen, it wasn't just about formation. There's too many players who aren't playing 8 out of 10.
Lack of confidence, no?
Maybe you try to think lack of confidence in the Chelsea game, but Mark, you know yourself, Evertonians especially, want to see you roll up your sleeves, have a right good go, don't leave anything in the dressing room, have a right good go, and if you lose, they'll come away and they'll say, well, we had a right good go here, but, you know, we got beat, you know, a lucky goal, or the better team won. But when they're not seeing what they want to see, they moan, and quite right as well, because we Chelsea away and there on Saturday, did we show enough passion and grit and determination? No, we didn't, and that's a worry.
But don't you think just going to Liverpool, that's why everybody who's a neutral loves watching Liverpool, because that's what you get.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, and let's be fair, I mean, to get people like Firmino and Coutinho, Lallana closing people down, running for the team, running backwards for the team, takes some doing.
Mm. And Steve, you look at what Mark said there as well about Liverpool and the trouble they've got now with Daniel Sturridge and people saying he can't get in the team because he doesn't play to the way that, you know, Klopp wants to play. Now,
what a lovely problem, though, Greg.
It's a great problem.
Do you think Klopp is bothered about Daniel Sturridge not being in? Is he?
Not at all.
See, that I'm thinking now, the way, you know, everybody's talking about Romelu Lukaku and his goal-scoring record is brilliant. You know, and he scores goals for fun and everything else. But, you know, Daniel Sturridge's goal-scoring record is very good as well. But if you're not playing the way that the manager wants you to play, you're going to be left out. Yeah, so I'm thinking the Lukaku situation, you know, there's a question mark over that as well. You know, listen, his goals, without his goals, we'd be in real trouble. But is it at the detriment of the team and the way that he wants his teams to play that Lukaku's in this? Listen, he's got massive, massive headaches ahead of him. Massive.
Yeah. The only, I say, well, sounding massively negative, the only positive I can take out of that on Saturday is there's players who shouldn't be at Everton because they're not good enough.
Mm.
I failed another audition for Mr. Koeman.
Yeah, and I think he knows that as well, Steve. He knows that. And
I think, the thing is, Steve, as well, is he sees them every day in training.
Mm.
He'll have made his mind up after 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah. It might just take a bit. Steve, thank you very much indeed. Well, brilliant call.
The other thing, Steve, is when, you know, and fans said, well, why is he playing him or why is he not playing him? Because he sees him in training and he knows he's not good enough, basically. Mm. That's how you know.
Yeah, so he's made that choice.
Yeah,
so.
And you're getting the problem now as well. And whilst we're saying, no, he's got to do a clear out and everything else, that's not easy.
No.
Because he's got players sitting there and they'll just go, Well, I'll tell you what.
Pay me up.
Yeah, pay me up, man.
Pay me up and I'll go, otherwise I'm sat.
I'm sat there, so...
What's your man's name without a locker? Still without a locker? I can't get over that. I really seriously can't.
Right.
Sat on his ass, did you say?
More of your calls. So, Sharpie is a proud Scot. You've not even mentioned Annie Murray yet. What's gone wrong? Did it bypass you?
No, not at all. Yeah. Did you feel thumbs up, thumbs down?
Okay, well, I'll give you a thumbs up.
Andy Murray.
Yeah, good. Greatest Scottish sports person ever.
Ooh,
there you go.
You have to give me time in that one. Yeah.
Mind you, who else is there?
Hold on, my man. Alan Wells,
yeah. Oh, 100%.
Jackie Stewart.
Fine. I only asked who else is the Sharpie.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Can Kenny be up there?
Yeah. Oh, the list is endless.
Yeah, really?
Robert the Bruce,
David Coulthard.
We've just ended it.
It has ended.
Rob Roy,
Frankie Boyle.
It's got to be Andy Murray. Right, we'll do another thumbs up in a moment or two. A minute past 7 o'clock. We'll take a string of your calls next. It's the Radio City Legends.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 7:05, we have Graham Sharp and Mark Lawrenson in the studio. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment or two. Just before the break, we were talking about Andy Murray. Now, of course, everyone thinks he's going to get knighted, Sir Andy. But should you get... Are you screwing your face up at that, Sharpie?
I don't know if he
will get a sir, won't he? He'll become a sir. So? Laura, will he become a sir?
Yes.
Should he become a sir while he's still playing?
Why not?
Well, I had Barry Cowan on the show I do this morning on Radio
Boy from
City
Ormskirk.
Talk. Yeah, the lad from Ormskirk who played Pete Sampras. And he said he should definitely not get it while he's still a professional player. Because it would affect his mindset. I don't know. It's just giving him any time?
He must have one of the best mindsets of any international elite sportsman stroke athlete.
Right.
Well, you think about where he's come from. He's had Nadal, Federer and Djokovic in front of him for years. And I'm sure quite a few times along the way he must have thought, I am never, ever going to usurp these three. And what has he done? He's so mentally don't make any difference.
Laura says, knight him straight away.
Why not? If someone who ever makes the decision wants to knight him, knight him. What's wrong with it?
A greatest British sports person of all time, or in the top three?
Oh, dear, that's another problem.
Yeah, well, it's a good debate, isn't it? Who's up there? We did the Scottish one.
Yeah, has any snooker players been knighted?
Like who? Stephen Hendry?
Steve Davis.
He was my hero when I grew up.
Too boring.
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah.
I know, but
who else has been knighted?
Sir Bobby Charlton.
Sir David Beckham, is he a sir?
No.
Oh.
No, well... Didn't
that will be stretching the point.
Yeah. Both of them knighted for his charity work.
Right, okay.
As well. Producer. Let's get back to the phone lines. We're going to talk with Rob, who's in Waterloo. Welcome to the Legends, the Radio City Legends, Rob.
Good evening.
Hi, Bob.
I'd just like to ask Mark what he thinks about the Daniel Sturridge situation. I mean, will he spit his dummy out as he's not getting a regular game? Mm-hmm. Will Klopp be able to hang on to him? Because he doesn't seem to be that high up the pecking order.
Well, he's not.
When two of your players have come sort of on a 10,000-mile-plus round trip.
Sure. He's not in the starting 11, is he? So, you know, I'm not even sure it's a problem. You know, he goes and knocks on Klopp's door. What does he say? I want to be in the team. And Klopp says, well, yeah, I'm sure you do. But at the moment, I've got, you know, all the strikers or whatever you want to call them. They're all playing extremely well. Mm. And I've listened to one or two people and they say, well, you know, in January you should sell him. Why would you make somebody else stronger? Mm. Why don't you keep him? Because you never, ever know. And the thing about Daniel Sturridge, in fairness to him, when he's come on, he showed willing. He doesn't do the chasing down and all those kind of things. So you know that. But when he comes on for a reason, he comes on to score you a goal. And quite often he scores you that goal. But if you really look at it, when Klopp came and it was like Daniel Sturridge, he wasn't fit, he wasn't that, and then he was getting injured in training and all those. Mm-hmm. And all it was about was Daniel Sturridge. Now, really, he hardly gets a mention. It's like Coutinho, Firmino, Lallana, Mane, all those kind of lads. Mm-hmm. And they've overtaken him. But I would definitely keep him. Definitely keep him.
Oh, yeah, definitely keep him. It's a case of will he be making a nuisance of himself and trying to get out?
I think
Origi's in front of him.
Sure.
Who does the running and chasing down.
Yeah.
But it's just a shame, really, because if he could adapt to that and get stuck in and do that, then fine. But he doesn't seem to be that type of player.
No, he isn't that type of player. I think he's too old now to change him. But he's different. He's absolutely different. It's like, you know, people say at the moment, who could Liverpool least do without? I think it's Mane. Because Mane gives you something completely different.
Totally different.
Totally different. So I just think it's, you know, I'm not being funny, but, you know, players, you're a piece of meat, basically, Sharpie, aren't you? If you're playing well, you're in the team, you're great. You know, they get used and abused, and I think he knows he's not in the starts. And if he causes trouble, Klopp will swat him, won't he? Yeah.
I don't think he's looked like causing trouble, though.
No.
In the game against Watford, when he came on, he hit the bar twice, the Southampton game, he looks like he's trying really hard to impress him.
If Liverpool are losing games and he's not getting a chance,
knock on the door.
Then he'd knock on the door. But Liverpool are winning games, so whether you can't knock on the door, because they'll laugh at you and say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, the ones are in front of you at the moment. He's got to be patient. But I think it's amazing how it's turned full circle for him.
1-0 to Klopp.
Where he was flavour of the month. He was brilliant. Swat, punters loved him. All of a sudden, it's turned full circle, and he's struggling to get in the side. We've had callers on here before saying, get rid of him, sell him, everything else. It's amazing how it changes.
Yeah. You would only ever sell him in January if it was a deal where you could thought you could get somebody in better. What's the point? What's the point in selling him? We don't need to sell him, do we?
No. I didn't necessarily mean January. I meant, obviously, the following transfer window.
Yeah, well, listen, the thing is then, I mean, you know, you never know. Matt won the league.
No.
So then you're looking at a completely different set of players. And if, you know, qualification for the Champions League, which I think they will get anyway. Mm. So again, you're looking for a different player. And somebody will take him for really good money. There's no doubt. Because the thing about Daniel Sturridge is he can make his own goals. You know, if you look back at some of the goals, you put all his goals that he scored together, some of them are really seriously top draw.
Yeah, special.
Yeah, you put him with the two up front. And that's his forte for me.
Mm. He's a penalty area player, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I don't know. His goal he scored for England against Scotland. Sorry, Sharpie, but like it's a really well taken headed goal.
Yeah, it's good.
Really well taken headed goal.
But Rob, just on a very different slant, can I just ask you? You'd have seen the headlines about Adam Lallana and Jordan Henderson, and they had a night out on the same night as Wayne Rooney.
Dreadful.
Because we talked about Wayne last week,
should be kicked out.
Are you a Liverpool fan?
That Rooney story is nothing.
Well, neither is this story either. I just want to get Rob riled up to say it is nothing. But are you not annoyed as a Liverpool fan when you're reading this about two lads who've gone out to a nightclub? One of them's a teetotaler. He's not had a drink. They're both in training the next day. There's nothing wrong.
No.
It feels like a bit of victimisation going on, Rob, for some players at the moment.
Yeah, it's the typical gutter press in this country, I feel, because they've done the same to Rooney. You know, they're trying to crucify him.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is the paper that we don't mention, isn't it? They seem.
Well, they started it, but I think other papers have done it, haven't they? As well, they've reported the story.
So footballers now have got a little bit of life. Do you know?
I heard about this. I was on the program with it. Michael Vaughan. Vaughan was on BBC the other day, and they asked him, and he went, "Where were the other players? Well, with the other players that weren't there, what's all that about?" He said, "I'll be fining them straight away." You just had a really good win on the Friday night. Yeah. Where were everybody else? Yeah. And if the FA say you can go out, I think it's like one of those things. Actually, if somebody, I thought one of the broadsheets would have gone, you know, the family that whoever got married, I thought they would have gone to them and gone, right, you know, Wayne Rooney was there or not, and apparently gave someone the shirt and all that. And he could have written a brilliant story, completely the opposite, polar opposite to what the gutter press wrote. And like, Wayne Rooney did this and he stayed with him for ages. All right, he had like, you know, 7 beers and 8 shots, whatever it was, get on with it. But it's mad. Yeah. It's absolutely mad, but at least it's taken over for a while from Gareth Southgate, England manager. That'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll go back to that.
What about that one? They said he's going to be grilled today. No one else is getting interviewed. Yeah. How does that work? Grilled? What? Like Welsh rarebit? What was it?
And wait till he turns around and says, "Give us £3 million."
He'll be a lot less than that, won't he?
Exactly.
I'll tell you something about England. This fella, Dan Ashworth, he is, by the way, the new kingmaker. He's the power boy. Mark my words.
Can I just say, I sat next to him on a couple of conferences. I didn't realise who he was at the time. Sorry, go on, Rob.
Where did he come from, Dan Ashworth?
West Brom.
West Brom, yeah. Mm-hmm.
West Brom, who was kind of head of recruitment. With Roy Hodgson. Mm-hmm. So, hey, what's this space?
Same old boys. Yeah. Rob, thank you very much indeed, pal.
Okay.
Have a great night. Some great points being made on the phones tonight. 01514720967. We were talking about the European League off air before. And we were just saying, because the weekend's seen a hat-trick for Ronaldo as Atletico were beaten by Real. It's seen a really weird sort of leader of the Bundesliga, RP Leipzig, who are... they were created by Red Bull, weren't they, about 8 years ago, and they're top of the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. You can create a team in 8 years and be top of the league.
Hold on, Leicester City.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a is it similar? It's not really still. They've got a bit of history, haven't they, Leicester?
Ooh. Yeah, but it's the same kind of
thing. RB Leipzig are like a manufactured product, aren't they?
It's unexpected. Well, they're German. Yeah. What do you expect? Yeah.
German engineering.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dortmund beat Bayern at the weekend, and we were talking about the kid who plays up front for them. It was linked with Liverpool a while back, but I don't think that link's going to exist anymore because his value is going to be ridiculous now.
What if you could get him? It costs you $30 million plus Daniel Sturridge. I just thought I'd throw that in.
That sounds like good money, doesn't it?
I bet he's a Klopp lover.
Hmm.
I've seen him.
Could be in the
paper
that tomorrow.
Oh,
let's go back to the phone lines. Gary is a happy blue in Kirby. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Happy blue?
Always happy, mate.
Hey, Gary.
All right, Graham. Probably confidence is probably the biggest thing at the moment. I think that pace that we got at Chelsea probably knocked the confidence. But one thing I want to ask you, Graham. But you know that Leroy Fair? He failed the medical at Everton, didn't he?
Yeah.
He went to QPR and never missed a game.
Yeah.
And he played on Saturday, and I thought he was all over the place. You know, he was good. I was weird that one.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. He was at Norwich as well. Dave just shouting to us, but...
Didn't miss a game?
No. Again, it was a medical thing, and they didn't take the chance on him. But the boy's a decent player, without a shadow of a doubt. Good midfield player.
I don't think he's good enough for Everton where you want to be.
Well, I don't think... I think you're right at the moment, but I think the little steps that we have to take, we have to sort of get these players in to take us to these little steps that'll take us to the next one.
Yeah, possibly.
And the likes of him, and the likes of even that...
Sigurdsson.
How clever is he?
Sigurdsson's a good... By the way, Sigurdsson, I couldn't believe he went back to Swansea. He is a good... He scores goals from midfield. Mm. He can't get them.
How clever is he when he plays? You know, and he could be like the new Gareth Barry and not like his age. And
he's better than... He's better than Barry because he's a goal scorer.
Yeah, I'm talking about going back a bit. But I think Barkley... I watched him on Saturday, and I know he gets a lot of stick, but I think Barkley's the only one who's trying to do them passes, Graham, that are going to sort of unlock defences. I mean, Everton are very predictable at the moment in time. We've lost our staff. Teams are coming down. They're putting them two banks of four on, and they're sitting deep and they're saying, come on, play through us. And Everton are just not doing them little passes. You know, you see teams making them little triangles all of a sudden once they're in.
But you know what, Sharp? Can I just say, you know what? Because I know you've got some really tough fixtures, but... The only thing about that is you're going to play teams who are just going to play.
Yeah,
they're not going to try and stop you. You just—you never know in football. Yeah. You really seriously don't. Might give you a bit more space and time to play. Might be the difference.
Yeah, Gary, I just thought Ross. I thought Ross did okay on Saturday, and I thought it was unfortunate if he scored the goal. You know, his confidence gets another shot, kind of thing. So, but I thought he did okay. But as I said to one of the first, I agree with you. One of the first calls I said to, we don't get MD forward. We don't get MD running beyond Lukaku getting. When the balls come in the box, you look at it and it's amazing because he's the only one in there. And you're thinking, we haven't got any real threat, real goal threat from midfield. Again,
very predictable, Graham.
Yeah,
very predictable.
Exactly.
You know what I'd go with? I mean, I thought I might be a bit adventurous, but. I might go with a 4-3-3. On Saturday night, I come home, I had a little look, and I might go with 4-3-3. I might even take a chance on Delafeu alongside Lukaku and maybe Morelos up there, three of them, and put Barkley, Idrissa Gueye.
Can I just say, boss, that would be a massive gamble for me.
Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would be.
I think Idrissa Gueye wouldn't be happy with you, Gary. He'd have some work to do there. I tell you that. But listen, we look at it, and I agree with you, and I've said it all season, that from an attacking point of view, he can, for the front four players, he can throw balls up in the air every single week, and it's much of a muchness.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we need to improve. We need to be cleverer on the ball. We need to have more movement. Very much what you said about being too predictable. That is something that he needs to address. He knows that as well. He's no daft. He knows that.
But out of doubt, he's only had one transfer window. Yeah. I'm not getting on Koeman's back.
No, not at all.
One transfer window, you know, give him this January one and give him the summer one, and then you can call it his team then. I mean, I want a bit more out of Balassi for 30 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
I need a bit more out of him, you know. When he played against us for Palace, he stood on that halfway line. And then we give it to him. And he tore us apart. He tore most everything.
Don't you think, since he signed for Everton, he's lost a little bit of hunger and maybe even a little bit of desire, which made him a really good prospect?
Yeah, I think he sits too deep as well. I think he's getting the ball on the edge of our area. And then he's trying to run from there. You know, I want him to stay up a little bit more.
Gary,
you know,
the thing is, we only saw him now and again for Palace.
Yeah, possibly.
You know,
right.
And then if you ask Palace fans, they'd say you'd have one good game out of three. And I've said it all along, once you move up, you need to make sure you're having three good games out of three. Three out of four you can get away with.
Yeah.
So at the moment, the moment he's really unpredictable. And the funny thing was, I don't know if I agree with, Alan Pardew said, before he moved to Everton, he warned him, it won't be the same for you. So I'm reading this article, I'm thinking, what's he come up with now? Because the pitch at Goodison is far narrower than what it was at Selhurst Park, and there's not enough space. And whether he can get as much joy as he got down at Palace.
I bet he didn't say that to him until he was 30 million.
Wait till the money went through first.
Exactly. bank transfer.
Yeah.
Your fixture list coming up is very unforgiving, isn't it, Sharpie? I'm looking at this. Southampton, United, Watford, Arsenal, Liverpool.
If I'm a player, I'm looking forward to that.
Top half of the table teams.
I'm looking forward to those. As a player, I'm looking forward to that.
Are you?
Yeah, because you look at the performance we got in Man City. Okay, we rode our luck a little bit, but we drew 1-1. You know, they missed two penalties. But, you know, it gives you confidence. So people are expecting you to get beaten. If you win those games, your confidence is high. Listen, we've got tough games coming up, but
every game's a tough one.
Exactly.
In that league.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gally, anything else to get off your chest?
No, I'm still happy. I'm still optimistic.
Good
know,
man.
But, not no problems with the blues.
Good man, Gary.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. Thanks for your thoughts there. Definitely the Blues with something on their chest tonight, isn't it? For Liverpool, it's just one of those weird ones, isn't it, where you're just sort of, you're quite content that they're sort of rolling along. Things will get back into shape at the weekend.
I think the thing, Steve, after a draw like that when you should have won, you just look at the league table. Lost one game, haven't they? Burnley.
Looks amazing, doesn't it?
The other thing, by the way, they've done Arsenal away, Chelsea away, played at Tottenham away. So, and I keep telling you about the last seven or eight games of the season. And if you look at Liverpool's fixtures, Liverpool seriously have got a chance to win the league. They really have.
Because if they can get to sort of March in the right position, then it looks good on paper, doesn't it?
Well, it is good on paper.
Yeah.
It is good on, because they're playing extremely well. Nearly every team that Liverpool have played, the opposition manager has said they are the best team we've played this season, apart from whinging Jose. So, but apart from that, nearly every, even the likes of Wenger goes, oh, by the way, Tottenham should have won at Tottenham, took Chelsea apart as well. All right, they might have not had the system won it, but it's not Liverpool's fault, is it?
Just a thought from you on Joel Matip. Is he one of the best buys that Liverpool, or best sort of, he was a free, wasn't he?
So, yeah.
Is he one of the best frees that you've seen around at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing is Klopp knew him. You know, he knew all about him. So I think that was done a long, long time ago, to be quite honest with you. So that's been a good bit of business.
Ronald will be scouring for a few of those, won't he? In fact, Steve Walsh, the next couple of months is quite important for Everton, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. You know, now he should be doing his homework now. I'm sure he'll have a list that he wants. Sigurdsson is one that was mentioned before. Where they can get him, but no, they'll have a list. Yeah, definitely needs to do something.
They should be able to get Sigurdsson, shouldn't they?
Well, he just signed a new deal for him. They want him in the summer, and he signed another year.
Well, they always do that, don't they? And then move on. Well, protects the value for the club, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. You can always get players out, can't you?
I would have thought so. Boys, anything coming up this week?
I'm going to rush home and watch the game. What's the game tonight? West Brom.
You're going to rush home?
Yeah, right.
There's no need to rush home and watch that one.
I'm going home to build an ark.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
Is it still raining out there?
How many floors were there on the ark?
No idea.
Three.
Go on.
No, it's not a joke.
Go on, just the punchline.
I'm just trying to increase your intelligence. Are you sure?
Boys, Laura, Sharpie, thank you very much indeed. Please join me tomorrow morning on Radio City Tour from 7 a.m. for 4 hours of sport news and some great rock music as well. That's been The Legends from Monday evening. We'll be back on Thursday.